Blog Talk Radio.
The PW Torch Livecast is brought to you today by Audible, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want to get a free book when you sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. Once again, that is audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch.
We borrow from such program niches like soap operas, like The Days of Our Lives, or music videos such as those on MTV, daytime talk shows like Jerry Springer and others, cartoons like The King of the Hill on Fox, sitcoms like Seinfeld, and other widely accepted forms of television entertainment.
What?
I got a jail for less than you.
Jail's no fun, I'll tell you that much.
Where you been?
Once. In Monopoly.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's a sparkle kid.
Hello, you people. Today is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. I'm your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast, and your Wednesday intro song is Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges. They're available on iTunes, and the song sounds like this. Yeah, we're coming at you with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We are taking your call, 646-721-9828, here on Blog Talk Radio. We are taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The chat room is open at pwtorchlivecast.com. And, of course, you can send in your Twitter questions to me at RealPatMcNeil. But now let's get on with the program.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, formerly of World Championship Wrestling and Championship Wrestling from Florida, and one of the legends of Florida wrestling, please welcome Mr. Bob Cook. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. Good to have you back. Actually, our staff put together the Bob Cook theme song, so if you'll just bear with us for a moment here.
I've I think never they had help. Spent much time in school, but I totally it is plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey.
Yes, it's the theme from The Fall Guy by Lee Majors, but it's still a fine song. It's great to have you back on, seriously, Bob.
I used to like that show, even though it was horrible after I watched it now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the way a lot of 80s shows were. All right.
Andre the Giant was on that once, you know.
Yeah, he was also on $6 Million Man. He got on a lot of shows.
Yeah, BJ and the Bear.
Yep. Andre was...
And just to feel at home, because I'm an old wrestler, I just took a shot of steroids and I'm doing some other drugs and I'm going to be drinking myself into a drunken stupor later.
There you go. Bob Cook, ladies and gentlemen. He's in town all week. Okay, 646-721-9828. Let's... Bob, what have you got? Usually guys come on and talk about their projects. What are you working on presently, Bob?
Let's see. I'm working on deciding what I'm going to eat for dinner, although I am actually going to work out in a little while because I have a friend coming over to work out with me.
Good for you. That's good.
I think I'm going to have chili tonight, though.
An excellent choice. All right. Let's see. Now, I know that you... You have occasionally been known to comment and have opinions on what's happening in professional wrestling and what did happen. And you did manage to watch Raw, on tape delay yesterday. Can you give us some of your impressions?
I wasn't that impressed. You know, okay. I don't know. I try to focus on the positives more than the negatives because everybody else is looking at the negatives. And who wants to be like everybody
That's
else?
True.
Because I'd just be a moron like the rest of them. But I try to focus
right.
on the positives. Sometimes I get moody and I'll watch the show and just, you know, everything will just rub me the wrong way. And I don't know. It seemed to me like last night for me, but Monday for the rest of the real world.
Right.
There's a lot of just more talking. And, I mean, I don't know. It's just you spend 15 minutes of the first part of the show just yapping. I mean, every week it just gets boring. over-scripted, overthought promos, or I don't even know if you call them promos, just rambling as far as I'm concerned. The stuff with the New Day at the beginning and Sheamus and all this, just like, yeah, I wanted to poke my eyeballs out and shove needles in my ear. With steroids in them, of course.
Well, of course. All right, so we might be kind of on the same page here, but let's see. Have you been following any of the other wrestling that's out there? There's TNA, there's Ring of Honor, there's New Japan, which somebody will probably be calling and asking about. The indie circuit around here.
No, actually, I haven't watched TNA in a long time, and usually when I watched Ring of Honor, I did it with a noose around my neck and on a chair, but I quit watching that too because I got so heavy I couldn't find a place in my house to put the noose. But, and I don't have the channel that you get the Japan show on.
New Japan World or AXS or...
whatever it is, yeah.
I get that.
I never watched much Japanese wrestling anyways unless Terry Funk was wrestling.
I don't think he's wrestling in Japan currently.
He is on YouTube anytime I want.
That's true. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break from all this positivity and go to the telephones here, 646-721-9828. Are you up for this, Bob?
I don't know. Are they going to be mean?
No, mean's not usually a problem we have. Okay, for those of you calling in on a Wednesday for the first time, you can ask up to three questions. You can make up to three comments. You can combine them like two questions and one comment. But at the end of the day,
that's a magic number.
And this show is PG by orders of my boss.
While we're waiting for our next caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to, keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
It's all very simple. We'll kick things off in the 862 area code. 862, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cox.
Kylan from North New Jersey.
How you doing, Kylan?
I'm very well, Pat. How are you doing this week?
Doing fine. Do you want to say hi to Bob Cook? He's our guest.
Of course. Hello, Bob.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well, sir.
All right, what are your questions, Colin?
Okay, my first question for you, Bob. During your time as an enhancement talent in the wrestling business, did you ever specifically request to work with a specific talent, or did a specific talent ever go to a promoter and request to work with you?
Okay.
That's a no. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else asking to work with me, but I never were asked to work with anybody. I may have asked to not work with a couple people. Let's say I don't want to roll around the ring with a fat guy named Vader. Oh, okay, you won't have to. That worked out well.
All right, well, they did listen to you then. Okay.
Well, I don't know if they listened. Jody Hamilton was the guy who booked WCW stuff, and he just made sure I never had to work the big beast of stiffness.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to get your back broken, for one thing.
Or anything else. I was the next match out after he broke that guy's back.
Joe Thurman? Yeah.
Yeah, I had to work with Tom Zink, and everybody knows how hard that is. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Compared to Vader, it's like...
night and day.
Not even that.
All right.
Question number two for you, Bob. Do you feel that the role of an enhancement talent has changed in a positive or negative way in recent years?
I would say it's negative and positive both. It's positive in some sense because who wants to watch guys just get beat up by a so-called superstar, and it's negative because none of the guys that used to do that are making any money doing it anymore. You go back and watch the old TBS shows, which are popping up on the WWE Network now, and sometimes you don't really even want to watch that. People like to fantasize that those shows were so much better than today until you actually watch them and go, well, geez, there's a whole lot of talking and a whole lot of nothing going on in the ring. Oh, wait, there's Flair and Ronnie Garvin. Cool. That's really cool. At least you got that.
Yeah. Okay. Kylan?
And my final question for you, sir. Do you think that if you were to try to get into the wrestling business today, as opposed to when you did, that there would be a proper place for you to make a good living and be treated well.
No, it's very unlikely nowadays. There's less places to wrestle. There's less schools worth training guys. I mean, you got guys nowadays that open a school because they bought a ring off of High Spots and learned on some DVD they bought how to be a wrestler. And then you got guys that buy into it and pay them to train them to be, you know, you're like breeding. It's like a disease that's taken over. You got guys that don't know what they're doing, training guys that continue to go on to not know what they're doing, to train more guys that don't know what they're doing. And then there's nowhere to wrestle except the independent circuit. Unless you get really lucky and get to go to Next or whatever, Nextist or whatever they call it.
Yep. Man, yeah, WWE. Okay. All right, Kylan. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, it's easier than ever to get in wrestling, but it's harder than ever to ever make it. Not that I would know what it's like to make it, but you know what I mean.
Well, I understand completely. All right. Well, Kylan drops off, and that
Thank
opens
you.
Up a line for you, 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. I'm going to take a question. So we have an email question. Let's take it. It is Manuel from Belgium, who, let's see, after some preliminaries here, Manuel asks, why is the stock price of WWE still going strong after all this bad news, bad ratings, bad shows, and overall totally bad results? Let's see. Maybe it has to do with no competition jumping in when the product's down and out. I think that a lot of the people who buy stock are not the same people who are professional wrestling fans. So they're, you know, the word that there are a couple bad shows and that the ratings are slipping, that might trickle down to them eventually, but but not right at the moment. Bob, I don't know how your portfolio is, but do you have any ideas on that?
Well, I mean, if you look at the WWE's financials, they're not, you know, that should be what you're worried about if you're a stock guy, to realize the company's, at least from what I've seen, is pretty healthy for the most part. I mean, they got three announcers on every show. They can't be hurting too bad. Get rid of some of those announcers. We don't need them. I say we fire Booker T, the Byron Island-looking guy. I can't think of all the names.
His name is actually Byron, but okay.
Oh, that's weird.
No. Yeah, that's kind of neat. All right. Well, that answers that. Let's go back to the telephones. We've got a
caller
standing
by. Oh, by the way, I like that guy's waffles.
Yes, oh, you do? Byron?
Well, you said he was from Belgium.
Oh, yes. I'll pass the word along to Manuel about that. We're going to go to... Hold on a moment. Yes, hold on. Okay. I got to get better with that. Okay, we're going to go to the 240 area code. 240, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
How you doing, Ryan?
Yeah, first question for Bob is, if you could have gotten repackaged with a gimmick, what gimmick would you used in WCW?
Well, I don't know. Usually it's not up to the guy.
Okay, but let's say you were starting out. Did you have a preferred choice of gimmick?
Not really, which is probably why I am sitting here right now doing nothing. But I just like being a pro wrestler. Like I said, I've said many times, I hate the term enhancement talent. I hate the term jobber. I like the term pro wrestler that just didn't win too often. Because people think of you as a lower life form when you're supposedly a jobber or an enhancement talent. We all trained in the same gyms. We all went to the same wrestling school. Not the same wrestling school, but trained the same way. We all go up and down the same road, stay in the same hotels, and have things going on with the same rats back in the day. That's a little weird.
Yeah, just a bit. Okay, but you were, let's see, in addition to being Bob Cook, you were occasionally a mass superstar. You were Piranha Steel. Your thoughts about being, what were your thoughts about that? Was that a good gimmick for you, or?
I mean, it was just, basically it was just, hey, Bob, you're ugly. Put a mask on. We'll call you Piranha Steel. Hey, I get it. Fine. No, but the cool part about that was that Angelo Poffo was my manager. It was a brief gimmick for the global wrestling here in Florida when it started in 80.
Right.
I think it was the first company actually that had went public with stock back in the day. I only worked for him for the first TV taping because I went somewhere else afterwards, and the guy that booked the show got mad at me because I went somewhere else afterwards.
Right. Okay.
But it was fun.
All right. Let's see. Ryan?
Yeah, second question is, do you think was the most ever pushed wrestler in WCW or the NWA besides Big Van Vader?
What was that again?
Most overpushed wrestler in WCW while you were there.
Oh, overpushed. Maybe Luger, I don't know. And he wasn't, I don't know. I mean, they pushed him pretty hard for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if he called overpushed, though. They're always trying to, you know, they want to make somebody a star. They're going to push him as much as they want. Like everybody says, Roman Reigns is being shoved down their throats. No, he's not. This guy's a hell of a worker. Get over yourselves. What do you people want? You're just jealous because he has long hair. Most of you are fat and bald.
And my final question is,
go on.
Ever the New Breed or the Mob Squad, who was the better tag team?
Huh. Oh, the New Breed.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't know.
Okay.
But I knew Chris Jamie for many years, so I got to side with Chris.
Right.
And Sean. I haven't seen Sean in years. I don't know if he's even alive. Is he alive?
I would have to look. Okay. I'll be doing that while Ryan signs off here.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Ryan?
Thanks, Pat.
No problem. All right. Well, Ryan drops off.
Bye-bye.
Boy, that's a bit loud. 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. Let's see. Chris Champion and Sean Royal. Okay, no. Oh, jeez. Okay, there's, let's see. This is the problem with finding these things online, because there was a New Breed in the WWE version of ECW. Jeez, let's see, and that's where this directs me to. All right, I'm going to have to. Okay, here we go. Chris Champion and Sean Royal. Well, Bob, I'm going to Wikipedia, which of course is the source for all accurate information, as you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, nobody can change that stuff.
All right, Sean Royal started wrestling in that, right? Let's see. Last entry for him was him working in 2001 in NWA Wildside. So, have not heard anything about him, good or bad. That probably
That's
means he's still
thing.
Alive, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually that means he's alive.
I know Chris Champion is, because they did a benefit for him recently in Tennessee.
Okay. There you go. We're going to go now to the 515 area code. All right, 515, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook.
Hi there. This is Neil from Des Moines, Iowa.
Hi, Neil.
Hi,
Neil. What's your question? Yep.
Yeah, well, I just kind of find it, I know that a lot of wrestlers have had problems with their addictions, and a lot of people do. And
yeah.
I just kind of found it offsetting how this interview started. I know it was tongue-in-cheek, I hope, but, you know, it's a stereotype that is somewhat true, but I don't know. I just didn't care for it, I guess.
Okay.
You can't let them all. I just woke up.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go take more steroids and drink more because of that, and now I'm depressed. I'm going to pop pills now. I was just going to drink. Now I'm going to pop pills, too. Thanks, pal.
Okay.
Welcome.
Anything else to share?
Nope. Nope, that's it.
Okay, well, thank you for dropping by.
Thank you.
Yes.
I didn't mean to do that.
Yes, well, you know, I mean, this is a professional wrestling podcast, Bob. You know that we try very hard not to hurt people's feelings. Okay, on that note, we are going to take a break and hear from some of our fine sponsors. We'll come back. More of your phone calls, 646-721-9828, and we'll talk more about the fine business of professional wrestling with Bob Cook.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth. People.
As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps. so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen, and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com.
All right, and we'd like to thank Dominic at pwpodcast.com, who is doing the Lord's work reviewing this podcast every week. Speaking of sponsors, let's talk about our good friends over at audible.com. If you like audiobooks, and many people like audiobooks, then you should go check out audible.com. It's owned by Amazon. So if you can figure out how to use Amazon, you can probably figure out how to use Audible. Over 180,000 audiobooks from all the top authors. There's a Stephen King has a new book out, so does John Grisham. Vince Flynn wrote a new book after he died, apparently, so I need to figure out how to do that, Bob. I think my career as a writer will improve once I figure out, you know, how to keep writing stuff after I die. Let's see. Anyway, they're all here. You sign up at audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. You get your first book free, $14.95 a month to be a member. Pick out one book a month, any book you want. Listen to it however you want. And cancel any time. Also, you can exchange any book you don't like, no questions asked, and you get 30% off each additional audiobook while you're a member, or you can just go to the website and buy audiobooks the regular way without signing up. It's all very simple. It's audible.com, because you shouldn't have to learn the alphabet to be able to read. And, of course, this is the PW Torch Livecast, which airs every Monday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern after Raw, Tuesday through Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern, Friday, whenever Bruce and Travis feel like it. You can listen live at pwtorchlivecast.com. And the show, of course, is brought to you by the often-imitated, never-duplicated Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website. Go to pwtorch.com, or if you're a VIP member, go to pwtorchvip.com and check us out and check out links to our other media. And say, if you want to become a VIP member...
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Kind of like that. You go to pwtorch.com/govip. Normally it is $10 a month, $99 a year. However, I believe we still have a sale going. Let's see, it's now, how long is it after Black Friday? 8, 9, 10 days. But I think the Black Friday sale is still up over at pwtorch.com, and it makes for a great holiday gift, because you can give somebody 1 month of the Pro Wrestling Torch VIP service, one whole month for just $1, and it's just in time for Christmas. So go out and find 50 of your friends who like professional wrestling and give each of them a subscription. It's great. You get on the ad-free version of the pwtorch.com website. I could stop there. That's such an important thing to have. Get at least 15 VIP-exclusive audio shows per week, including two VIP-exclusive shows that I do every week, the after show that I'll do with James Caldwell tonight, and, of course, the Wayback Playback Jim Valley and I will do, on which airs on Sundays. Of course, you can get all of our newsletters in slick PDF files that look great on your tablet. You can read the Torch on your phone. It's all nice. Torch newsletter number 1434 is up right now, which contains featured columns and articles from many of our fine writers. And right now, if you go to the website, you can get in on today's live cast poll, where Bob, are you still there? Haven't given up yet?
Hang on a second.
Yeah, okay.
I was checking my pulse because I'm 52 years old and I used to be a wrestler. I'm still alive. Yeah, I was worried for a minute. I couldn't find it.
There you go.
Take that, okay, mister, who's offended by the simplest things.
All right, well... Anyway, moving on. Today's live cast poll is, Bob, you may know that WWE sent out a survey asking people why they weren't watching Raw anymore. So we decided to take some of the things from that survey. We decided to ask it ourselves, including a couple of options that James Caldwell and I added. So you can go and vote on it right now. Let's see. Right now into the poll, 49% have voted for 3 hours is just too long with current creative. 41% WWE is reciting the same effing authority figure storyline for the past 18 effing years. That part's added by me. And 5% voted for not enough matches that don't affect storylines. Well, there you go. But vote now. Vote polls up till the end of the week, and we really want your opinion. Okay, so we're back with Bob Cook, legend of Florida wrestling, and was there during some of the high... Well, actually, most of the time you were there were high points for WCW. They were in business, for one thing.
Yeah. A lot more guys were making money. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But Yeah, no, it was fun. Yeah. That much I know.
Well, no, I think you're right. I think that WCW paid a lot of people a lot of money, even if you weren't necessarily one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Let's see. So we're gonna go back.
I agree
with
you.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say I agree with the authority crap. I'm sick of that.
Yeah, that's. I think that's one of the big problems. One of the options we also have is all the wrestlers I care about are gone, which might be an option. If you know, I mean, three of the top four guys that they've been pushing are on the shelf right now. So,
well, Andre the Giant did die in 1993. Oh, you're talking
about
something
else. That's true too. It's been all downhill from there, obviously. Yeah. Okay.
For him, anyways.
Yes. Now, when you were on last time, you started to tell a story, and we got interrupted about the time Sting saved you from being chewed out by Cowboy Bill Watts. Do you want to go back into that, or?
I don't care. I mean, it was just one of those things. Watts was known to tell guys what he thought and do it very loudly in a room by themselves. And I did a match with Sting where, when you work with Sting, you sit in a dressing room with him, and you could call the whole match, and he'd put his makeup on, and he'd just go with the flow, you know. And I like to do comedy stuff once in a while, where I jump over the top rope and trip and come in the ring and trip, different stupid things. And I was telling him all this stuff, and he goes, yeah, sounds good. And Michael Hayes was sitting there, and he goes, oh, Watts is going to hate that. He goes, I love it. Go ahead and do it, but Watts is going to hate it. And Sting goes, ah, fuck, Watts will do it. Oh, geez, I'm sorry. I used a bad word. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway,
he said, forget Watts. Do it anyways. We went out there and did it. And when we got back, Watts was like, whose idea was all that crap? I don't need that in my TV show. And Sting said, oh, that was my idea. And then Watts went, then Watts just said, well, okay, just don't do it again.
Grumble, 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 yeah.
Right. Which was so, he saved me from getting yelled at. He could have easily said, well, Bob wanted to do it, I mean, it's not a compelling story, but,
It's a story. All right, speaking of stories, we have actually this is a question, so we'll take that. It comes from our chat room at pwtorchlivecast.com from our man Chicky Singer. Chicky wants to know, Bob, who do you think should have gotten the Barry Horowitz push in WCW, the wrestler, the enhancement wrestler, scoring the big upset victory?
Well, me, of course. Who else? I'm just kidding. I never thought about that stuff.
Well, we'll assume
wasn't
that.
My position to care. What?
Who is the second most deserving?
That's a real tough question because I got to think back who was there.
Yeah.
I mean, heck.
Yeah. I mean, let me start thinking about the episodes that are up on the network right now. Tony Zane. The Cruel Connection. George South.
I mean, George was a great worker. He could have been a junior heavyweight champion or something. Denny Brown was a junior heavyweight champion, and both of them were really, really good workers.
Yeah. Okay.
George, proof still today, he loves the business as much as anybody and traveling up and down the roads every week doing it. And he's a great guy, too, if you don't know him.
Okay, yeah. George has actually been on the live cast before. I think Bruce Mitchell was hosting that day, but... yeah, okay, very popular choice. Let's see here. So I'm thinking back. Okay, so when did you... Okay, I've read that your WCW career pretty much was 1988 through 1994. Was that... is that accurate? Did you work before that? Did you work for them before that or after that? Or
no, that was it. It was in 98, first time I worked for them, and then last time was in...
88.
94, something like that.
Okay, so I'll try to get. Well, I'm going to go look this up here in a second and try to figure out who else would have been a candidate for that. But people say that there aren't enhancement performers anymore, and every week I can tune onto the WWE Network and watch Heath Slater lose as he goes for like 0 and 500. Do you think that's
every
do,
week?
Do you think
you
that's
must watch
superstars? Yes.
Yeah, so you must watch the shows other than Raw and SmackDown because I don't see them on those shows.
Right, but what I'm saying is, yeah, they obviously do have enhancement performers. They just don't call them that. They're not enhancement performers, but pro wrestlers who lose a lot.
I recently saw how WWE categorized jobbers or whatever they like to call them, and they essentially called them props.
Oh.
As part of their lawsuit. That doesn't seem very smart to me to basically treat them as though they're nothing. It's one thing to do that when you're there, but when you're a lawsuit, you should at least say, don't blow them off as nothing, more than just a prop, because that makes them seem kind of that they don't care about them, which they don't, but they don't care about anybody. Yeah. Nobody cares about anybody.
No, that's true. I mean, I think I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, people complain about Vince being the evil, dictator of wrestling, and he treats people like crap. Well, guess what, people? If you work at Walmart, Target, Kmart, McDonald's, Wendy's, Arby's, or the local bar down the road, your boss is going to be a jerk, and you're going to think that regardless. Vince is no different than anybody else. He's just a little more wealthy.
Well, just a bit, yeah. But no, that unfortunately, you're correct about that. Let's see. I'm looking up the names of great jobbers from 1988, or at least jobbers. Tony Suber. Let's see. Alan Martin. I don't know. Yeah, Tommy Angel and Cougar J. Well, there's a great tag team there. All right. We do have a chat room question, Bob. What is your funniest Kevin Sullivan story?
Oh, I don't have any real funny Kevin Sullivan. What I mean,
are there funny Kevin Sullivan stories?
I don't know. I mean, Kevin's always been really, super nice to me and helped me a lot over the years. I saw him in Las Vegas at the Cauliflower Alley Club last year, this year in April. He's just a great guy. I think one of the funnier things, Billy Jack Haynes, who's a loon, who's a goof, who's an idiot, who's got a concussion, I guess, and suing everybody, and wants money for doing nothing. Worked for a company for less than 2 years, and he wants money. Strange. Hey, I worked for him for less than a year. I want some money, but I ain't asking for it. Anyways,
right.
Billy Jack was in a dress room telling the stupidest story about something to do with a cow, having sex. I don't know. It's probably a personal thing. But he's telling this stupid story, and he gets to whatever the punchline was, and he starts laughing like a hyena. Everybody in the dressing room stared at him like he is a hyena. And Kevin Sullivan looks at him. He gets up to Billy, and he goes, Billy, that's the stupid blanking story I've ever heard in my life. And he just walked away. And I laughed my ass off at that.
Yeah. Okay, well done.
Yeah, that's,
All right, let's see.
Well, Billy Jack's always been a loon.
Yeah, he was I think he's been a loon for multiple promotions over several years. Okay. Let's see. All right. Of all the major shows you got to work for WCW, what was your favorite?
Oh heck, I don't know. I mean, I just like being there. I can't specifically say what was my favorite. I think I can't even remember where they were, but I used to base what the favorite place to go based on what the catering was, because some places you'd go and the catering was crap. And I would say I did the Classic Champions that one time, where me and Joe Cruz were the headhunters and we wrestled some Japanese guys.
Steak. Okay.
They had steak for catering that night, and that was really good.
Holy cow. All right, hold on.
Whole match in the dressing room because the Japanese guys pretended not to speak English, I think.
Well, yeah. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Yeah, there you are. Okay, Charleston, South Carolina, McAllister Fieldhouse.
Yeah,
which actually, Raw's going to be in Charleston on Monday. So there you go. It's relevant and timely. If they're serving steak, that is.
Yeah, but. That's why, I mean, when it comes to the TV and doing that kind of stuff, for the most part, for me, it was all the same. I just liked being there. I wasn't somebody who didn't complain about anything. I didn't get, didn't worry about anything other than maybe get hurt, but nobody ever hurt me on purpose. I don't think. Ron Simmons blacked my eye once.
Yeah.
But I think I've told this story before. He didn't do it on purpose, I don't think.
Right. Makes sense. All right, chat room question for you. Who did you wrestle in your retirement match, and who would you like to wrestle in your retirement match?
Well, I'm actually going to wrestle again in January, so there's no real I don't think anybody really retires. But the last match WCW last match I had was the Road Dogg Jesse James in a dark match.
Okay.
But the last match I had before, it was this an indie show match, with a guy named Buck Quartermain, who's a great guy, great worker.
Huh.
But I wrestled last year, actually.
With him. All right. But you don't know who you're wrestling next month?
Not exactly. like 6 weeks away. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, actually. No, but I don't know. I mean, who can you have a retirement match with that would matter at this point? I mean, you know, and it's just going to be some independent show, and I'll probably never completely retire because I have a sickness.
Well, I mean, it would matter to you who you wrestled in your last match, in theory.
Well, I mean, when it comes to doing that, the independent stuff, I wrestle people. I want to work with people that I know that aren't going to hurt me
right.
on purpose, or that they're just idiots. I want to, you know, with like a lot of, like I talked earlier about the disease going through wrestling of untrained guys training more untrained guys, unless you go to the Dudley School, and then, of course, you're going to learn that, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. You learn how to throw punches like Bubba Ray was on Monday night. Way to go, man.
Okay. Let's go back to the telephones to the 347 area code. 347, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook. Hello.
Hey, this is Jonathan from New York.
How are you doing, Jonathan?
Well, that was like a good topic that you guys mentioned about why when it comes, because the other day I was listening, I was looking at the interview with Al Snow. He mentions a lot also the same thing about, like, anybody could be a trainer now. Like, why people are doing that right now? Why? What's the point of people training when they don't, when they never were wrestlers before? Like, basically, like, now anybody could be a wrestler. Because that could be very dangerous if you don't have the proper trainer, you know, to be a wrestler.
Well, Bob, I mean, you're the expert here, but I'm going to guess that they're doing it to make money. Do you have anything to...
I don't know if they actually make money, because I found even back in the days of my time that, you know, when I went to the Great Malenko School, you always had people that would come in and say, well, I can't pay you this week. I can't, you know, and I think, you know, people, when they find out they got to pay to train, I tried to do some wrestling training years ago, because I hate people and I don't have any patience, it didn't work out too well. But you always had people that just, you know, they don't want to pay or they can't pay or whatever their excuse. Even though they could smoke cigarettes and drink beer before they get to the training school, they can't afford to pay the school. But, you know, I think the reason people do it is the same reason we all did, is because you love it. You just don't realize you're crap, and you think you're doing a good job, but it turns out you're not.
Well,
they think they know what they're doing. I mean, you know, no one is like going in there going, I know I suck, but I'm going to train you anyway. They're not going to tell you that, and they don't believe it.
No. What?
It just happens that they do. The misfortunate of life, believing in yourself. Who should do that? When you're, you know, you shouldn't believe in yourself, no matter what.
Words to live by. Okay, Jonathan?
Oh, Pat, I got a question about the current product, about what's going on with Roman Reigns and everybody. So,
okay.
The other day, on Monday, I remember when I was listening to the show, to you and
James,
I don't remember. Yeah, James. When it comes to Roman Reigns and how damaged he is right now, because I really don't think that there's like a comeback. I don't think there will be a comeback with him, because he's so damaged that what else can he do? Like, I know everybody talks about him turning heel, but I think even if he turns heel, that will be not much help. Because let's say if he goes against, who is he going to go against to that later in the future? Can he turn babyface again? Because the same thing is going to be like, okay, they're turning heel, and then in the future they're going to make us, you know, they're going to show up you-know-what again to, you know, to make him a champion. Thanks.
Okay, well, I think I've given in the past two perfectly valid answers for how to get people to cheer Roman Reigns. Number one, turn him heel and have Paul Heyman manage him and cut his promos. Problem solved. Number two is you said Roman Reigns on the tour of all the instead of John Cena, you said Roman Reigns on a tour of all the NBC television shows, having him give out Superman punches at each show. You know, once he gives a Superman punch to Matt Lauer and another one to Bob Costas, I think people will be cheering him. Hold on.
You know, I was just looking up on the internet. I'm trying to find Roman Reigns' phone number so I can break the bad news to him. I can say, Roman, I got bad news for you. You're only 30 years old, but you're already washed up. You're only 30 years old, your career's over. You're only 30 years old, and you busted your butt to get where you are, but
his
you're already a piece of garbage.
Over,
I can't take the attitude that people have about Roman Reigns. I think the kid's a great worker.
He's
already washed up. What are we going to do with him? He's being shoved down our throats. Nobody's being shoved down your throats.
Anything that's any reason that what's happening with Roman Reigns is not the fault of Roman Reigns. Okay, I mean he's a wrestler. He shows up. You know, he's a wrestler. He has had good matches, so we know that that's not his problem. And he's pretty much doing exactly what he's being told.
Yeah, and he's not being shoved down people's throat. If he was being shoved down people's throat, he'd be in every single segment of the show. But guess what? He's not. What is he on the show? 15, 20 minutes a week at the most? Come on, people.
All right. Well, Jonathan? You still there?
Who do you want him to do? You want him to bring back Zack Ryder and shove him down your throat? You want him to bring back Brad Maddox and shove him down your throat? Who's being shoved down your throat? Nobody. I say we
Triple
bring
H,
back Hulk Hogan.
Stephanie? Okay.
Pass Junkyard Dog Dolls out to everybody.
Okay. Let's try this again. Let's go back to the telephones, this time to the 952 area code. 952, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook. 952?
Hello?
Hello. Yes. Name and town.
Hey, hello, guys. How you guys doing? This is Brian from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? You got any questions for Bob?
My one question was kind of a comment what she was just talking about, which was Roman Reigns being kind of shoved down our throats. And I have to agree. I mean, if you go just on WWE Shop alone, which I was doing for Christmas shopping, he has more T-shirts than just about anyone else in the company, and he has the most amount of reworks in those. So he gets different branding. So,
someone like
Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
No, but Dolph Ziggler is going to get one branding for a year. Well, someone like John Cena is going to lead in the marketing because he's going to get more options. So I'm just saying they're definitely giving him more opportunities than are afforded other people. Certain people are chosen, like a Sheamus. So
he's going to shove down your throat. Somehow they've got some kind of like a mechanism that takes your arm, and when you're watching that, looking at WWEShopZone.com, your arm's being twisted by WWE some weird way, and you're buying his stuff. That's not shoving down his throat. Obviously, his stuff sells. They don't waste money on merchandise that don't sell. Shoved down their throat. That makes me sick. If you go to WWEShopZone.com and type in Roman Reigns' name, then you're going to look for Roman Reigns' stuff. Clearly, merchandise sells.
Roman Reigns is positioned in the prime in where it is because, A, he headlined WrestleMania last year. B, he is probably going to headline WrestleMania again this year. And, you know, I think that the top guys do get prime positioning. And, you know, right now, and he's wrestling, he's headlining the next pay-per-view. I would think that as the babyface, I would think those are reasons that you'd have lots of his stuff available to buy.
Yeah, and how awful was that match at WrestleMania this year? Oh, my goodness. He don't deserve to even be on the show anymore after that.
That was a great match, yes.
I know, so I agree.
Yeah, and you know what they could have?
The guy busts his butt every match. What the heck's wrong with people? What do they want the guy to do? He busts his ass every single week. What do you want the guy to do? Just because he's not super still Billy Graham on the microphone, guess what? Name anybody in the company that's great on the microphone nowadays.
Nobody. That's the point. That's the issue. You said it. Is that everyone is neutered in that company in a lot of ways. No one is allowed to fully excel. They limit you. Because, like, I talked about it last week on the live cast. I predicted it. As soon as Sheamus won on Sunday, I said, I bet you on Monday, Triple H's music, The Authority opens the opening segment at the top of the show, and through it all, they will play out. So it's not Sheamus the champion's music, it's them. Everyone is neutered. Yeah. That's the issue, is that you can't invest. I'm not against Roman Reigns. I mean, some of the things he has said have rubbed me the wrong way. You know, the entitlement in some way, I don't like that personally, but I don't hate him for his performance in the ring. What I don't like is not giving others an opportunity, the ones that the fans are cheering for, not to say you have to put Kevin Owens in the main event, but to completely dismiss some of the and I think of Daniel Bryan, rubbing people's noses in the dog crap for choosing someone that they haven't chosen themselves in the company.
Well, having the authority figure storyline still going after, you know, 17 years, and if you'll remember, they were doing this with Triple H and Stephanie running the authority 15 years ago. I mean, I think that might be the big that's one of the two big problems they have right now. And
I agree
with you.
How much money do they draw? How much has the authority ever drawn? You know what I mean? Like, you guys are talking about being shoved down my throat. Stone Cold Steve Austin was shoved down my throat, like, as a teenager. But I loved it. I couldn't consume enough of it. Because there was this, there was a consensus amongst everyone. It's his time. This guy is now the guy. Not a lot of, like, naysayers. And if they were there, they were tuned out by the overabundance of cheers for him. Roman Reigns, on the contrary, keeps getting chances and is not, in fans' eyes, the chosen one, I feel like. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, let me bounce this a different way, and I want to get Bob involved in this. Lance Storm's theory about this, and is the one that I like to use. He's pointed out that, you know, for the past few years, the authority, you know, the storyline is that the authority chooses the champion that they want, and that the guy that they don't want is the underdog, and you should cheer for them, and you should hate the guy they've chosen. So when they act like they've chosen, so when the fans act like, you know, when WWE acts like they're choosing Roman Reigns, and their authority figures are choosing Roman Reigns, the fans react like, hey, the company's behind Roman Reigns. This has to be a bad guy, so we should be going. So we should be billing him and cheering for the guy that they're not pushing. I mean, I think that's a problem.
It's definitely one of them. Mm. Thanks, guys.
All right, no problem, Brian. I'm sorry. I really did not mean to depress anybody, but that's kind of my opinion. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's stop that now. Okay. On that note, you want to go back to the phones, Bob?
Sure. Shove somebody down our throats.
Well, let's shove somebody down our throats right now. We're going to go to the 773 area code. 773, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Bob Cook. How you doing, Boris?
Boris from Chicago. Boris from Chicago.
Your timing is excellent, as always.
Thank you. Continue with the theme of shoving down our throat. What diva would you like to be shoved down your throat at this point in time? Or diva?
You mean, so to speak. So to speak.
Which one? I can tell you which one I don't. That's Nia Jax.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, different strokes for, you know, I'm sure there are some. Anyway, moving on. But do you have a favorite among the young lady wrestlers of the WWE, Bob? I'm sure is what he's asking.
I like the divas myself, and I think most of them can work when they're given an opportunity to do it and showcase. And that includes the Bellas, all you haters out there.
True.
I don't like necessarily how they're treated sometimes. Like, you know, they have a three-hour show. And to me, the solution to the three-hour show is that you just give the matches more time to develop. And, you know, it's more fun if the match isn't 5 minutes.
No. Bob, obviously WWE has figured out that people want less wrestling on their three-hour show and more talking.
Oh. Because to me, a three-hour show would be really easy to fill. You got a whole bunch of people who want to work. The wrestlers don't want to go 5 minutes. I know that for a fact. Except maybe the big show, he probably don't even want to go 2 minutes because that takes him away from the catering, you know, him and Kevin Owens. But you still, longer matches, less yapping. I like that.
Okay.
Like, I thought Becky Lynch and Charlotte had a hell of a match on Raw this week.
They did, actually. Yeah. Okay. Those are two fine choices, I think, Boris.
Yes. I have a question about you, because you said you don't like calling enhanced. You know, this is the modern way they call them real wrestlers. Because if you think about, you know, Joey Maggs and Barry Horseman, they were excellent wrestlers because they, you know, helped to get the main stars over. However you want to do it. Have you ever met other, you know, who do you know that you liked or met that you know wasn't going to be a main superstar in a program.
Okay. Bob, do you guys have a convention every year that, I mean, not Cauliflower Alley, but, you know, a jobber convention? We don't call them that, but yeah.
No, I
a convention
I do,
for
do
pro
a...
wrestlers who lose more often than they win, yes.
No. But, I got along with most of the guys, you know. I wasn't a troublemaker.
Well, that's good to know.
But we go to a thing in Tampa every 3 months called a Legends Lunch that Brian Blair puts on, and all a bunch of us old wrestlers get together and tell stories and lie a little bit.
All right. Kind of.
I bought a book at
podcast.
The last one. We went last Friday, and I bought a book from Buddy Culp.
Ah. how was his book? I haven't read it.
I don't know. I haven't read it yet. I just looked at the pictures.
Okay.
My last question. I haven't received it, but this infamous survey email by WWE asked you, what do you watch? Are you changing your channel? All this. If I was to change the channel, you know, I would change it for, to watch Netflix, which is, you know, Jessica Jones or whatever those, because they got great heels and stuff like that. What are you watching that you would change the channel from? You know, change the channel. Just going on the change the channel thing. What are you watching outside of, you know, WWE program?
Me? Okay. I watch Nashville. I love Nashville. I started watching Orange is the New Black on Netflix. I think that's a great show. I like The Walking Dead. I like Last Man on Earth. That's the ones I can think off the top of my head. But I don't not watch Raw or SmackDown. I watch the shows because I love wrestling, and I've always taken the good with the bad. When the bad is on, I watch it, and I go, I move on with my life. It's not going to change my life one way or the other if the show's good or bad. I'm not going to go into a deep depression when it's bad. I'm not going to go celebrate and buy a new car when it's good. I watch the show and I move on because I'm a wrestling fan. I'm not a fly-by-night fan. I'm not a fake sports fan like most people. They go, I can't wait for football season to start. Oh, my team's going to do good this year. Two games in, they're like, oh, hell with this team. I'm not watching anymore. They're not really fans. They just want to be part of something that's winning. If you love wrestling, you watch it till the end. You take the good with the bad and you watch it. But if you're a jackass and you just think everything should be to your liking every single week, then, you know, like, I hate Morgan on The Walking Dead, but I'm not going to stop watching The Walking Dead because he's still alive. I hope he's not soon, but I hate him.
I hate Ward on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, like I said, he's not redeemable. They should have knocked him off a long time ago, and he's continuing to do a more than heelish things, you know, and I really have a passionate hate for this character, which is great because that's what he's there for. You know, there's a lot of characters. That's why I wish that we can get back to heels being allowed to be heels and faces being faces so we can have someone that, I just can't pick this guy. You know what I'm saying? When the Freebirds came to town, when they was heels, I couldn't stand them. I could not stand them because they was just, can we, you know, get knock these guys off, and they did their job. They get out there and was able to be heels. I wish we could get back to that part of wrestling, which is heels and faces.
Well, I mean, the problem I think is, you know, WWE when they try real hard to create baby faces, you know, people whose parents can take their kids to see and all that. These people might be baby faces of one group, but they're heels to, like, the adult males who also watch Raw and pay their money That's, I mean, I think that's an issue. It's not necessarily something. I mean, WWE has obviously been working through that for several years with John Cena, and they haven't seemed to have a problem making money off of it. But maybe that's something they need to address if they want a character to get over with the adult male audience.
Thanks, Pat. How was your Thanksgiving, by the way? Happy
It was good. It was good, yeah. And how was yours, Boris?
Excellent, as always. A lot of stuffing.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Nobody shoved turkey down your throat?
Yeah. They shoved mashed potatoes down your throat.
They have a problem with Roman Reigns being shoved down their throat, but they don't have no problem with turkey being shoved down their throat.
Usually don't, no. That's a good one.
Awesome.
Thank you, Boris. All right, Boris drops off. That opens up a line for you, 646-721-9828, coming near the end of our hour together with Bob Cook. By the way, coming up at the bottom of the hour on most of these Blog Talk radio stations, you can listen to the East Coast cast, Travis Bryant and Bardray Purnell, talking about the current wrestling scene. For that program, unlike ours, parental discretion is advised. Okay, how was your Thanksgiving, Bob?
It was very quiet. My wife, who I haven't talked to in months, I still don't talk to, so it was very nice and quiet, just me and my dog.
Oh, okay.
I have a son, but he didn't invite me over for Thanksgiving dinner because he knows I hate kids, so that worked out good.
Yeah. Yeah, worked out nice for all concerned. And by the way, next Monday I expect to pass up Raw because I have actually been a Washington Redskins fan for 35 years, and they'll be playing the Dallas Cowboys, and what might be a brutally awful game, but they're my team, so I'll be watching that live and watching wrestling some other way.
But
so there
you do watch the show, right? You may not watch it on Monday, but you watch it.
Of course I'm going to watch the show.
Oh, okay. So there you go. That's the problem. We hate people who just quit watching. I see people online always talking about how I haven't watched the WWE in years because it sucks. Well, guess what? How do you have that as a what's your frame of reference if you don't watch it?
Yeah. Complaining about it while not watching it, you know, how do you know what's going on?
I can't remember the last time I watched a pay-per-view and went, oh, this sucked. I think all their pay-per-views have been pretty solid in the last few months.
I've almost never had a problem with the wrestling on a WWE show, but, you know, I can question, gee, this might not have been a good idea, or, gee, this wrestler maybe shouldn't be a babyface, should be a heel, that sort of thing.
Did you guys talk about the Charlotte mentioning her brother on Raw and all the hubbub people went and flipped out over that like a bunch of sissies?
Yeah, well, it turns out...
I personally thought it was great.
Okay, well, one of the people who I guess flipped out would be Ric Flair.
Well, you know what happens at his age. You get loony.
Okay. Well, there you go.
You think back, Michael Hayes and Mike Graham and all of them did the same angle 30 years ago when Eddie Graham died, but they did it 2 months after he died. The kid's been dead for three years, and they didn't mention, and Charlotte didn't mention him, you know. She did it in the context of what she said in real life, that she got into business to honor him. And she just mentioned it, and then Paige said what she said. I thought it was great.
They have definitely done worse. The real question is, did that make you want to see the match more?
Sure. They didn't sit there and say, and her sister didn't go, oh, maybe you'll die of a heroin overdose like your brother. Boo! He didn't do that.
That would have been awkward.
People are oversensitive, you know. You know, if they wouldn't have done that, nobody would have even been talking about that match before the Sunday had happened.
Okay, well, I mean, what do you
people
think of the Divas Revolution?
I don't think anything's off limits when it comes to wrestling, personally. I mean, back in the old days, if you had a car accident, you blamed it on the heel, you know. They always find a way to interchange real life with storylines.
Sabotaging cars, yeah. That's okay. Makes sense.
I thought the Divas Revolution was going good for a while, but then they just kind of like, you know, they don't give them the time that they. Yeah.
Yeah. If they wind up, it's kind of hard to have a revolution if they wind up treating you the exact same way, and you know, your matches aren't getting time. Although I have seen some Divas matches get TV time, and that is good.
Oh yeah, heck! On the Nexus show, that Bailey and I can't even remember who she worked now, but they had a hell of a match. It was like 30-minute Iron Man match, whatever it was.
Yeah, that was
a great match.
Pretty good. They were. Mm-hmm.
But lately, that show's been stinking too.
Well, we can. The thing with that show is, first of all, it's an hour. It's an hour as opposed to 3 hours. I think that helps a lot. And secondly, there's no question usually that that's a wrestling show. I mean, you're not going to get, you know, Triple H and Stephanie aren't going to come out and cut a 20-minute promo during NXT because, well, for one thing, there's not time to do that.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what I'm
just,
saying?
But lately the show's just been weak. I mean, there's a lot of short matches, and who really wants to see Samoa Joe wrestle Finn Balor? I know I don't. I'd rather watch Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens have a pie-eating contest just for the kicks and giggles, as opposed to watch them in the ring against Finn Balor.
All right. We're probably going to have to leave it at that note, Bob.
I think Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens would rather have a pie-eating contest, just judging from appearances.
Well, okay. I'd rather have a pie-eating contest than fight Samoa Joe, so I can dig that.
I agree.
Anyway, tomorrow, Wade Keller is hosting. I don't remember who his guest is, but go ahead and look that up. And, of course, we'll be back here next Wednesday. I have no idea who the guest will be next Wednesday either, but it'll all work out. Bob, I want to thank you again for being on. Can you tell us which show you're going to – who you're going to be working for next month and where the match is going to be?
It'll be in Bradenton, Florida. I don't really know the name of the company. You know, it's just an independent show that I'm helping put together. And okay. I'm sure I'll embarrass myself greatly.
Okay, well, that's part of what the pro wrestling business is about, you know, especially if you're a
that's
heel.
That's true. I used to tell people, I'm not a fool, I just play one on TV.
That's exactly. All right. Well, Bob, again, many thanks. How can people follow you via social media if they are so inclined?
Well, I'm just on Facebook, and I also somehow I've been connected to Twitter. I don't know, because every time I post something on Facebook, it shows up on Twitter, so, you know.
Yeah, I've got an app that does that, too, so. Yeah. Well,
I'm
actually,
not complaining.
I got
800 and some followers on Twitter who, for some reason, aren't smart enough to unfollow me. I don't know.
Right. Well, I'm one of them. Okay. And let's see. Bob's Twitter is, hold on, where do we got here? EvilEye1, E-V-E-L as in Evel Knievel, I-E-Y-E, the number one. So
that's the name of
Evel
Knievel's yacht in the 1970s for you trivia buffs out there.
I did not know that.
Not you.
I was kind of, yep, okay.
Were you going to say you were too young to know? Oh, that hurt.
I wasn't, no, of course not. Evel Knievel was definitely alive when I was, well, actually was alive up until recently. And some of his big jumps I missed, you know.
He was my favorite person on earth and a friend of mine, and he passed away November 30th, 2007, and that's too close to that. I hate hearing about it.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, Bob, again, thanks again. We will definitely have you back on the program to talk about professional wrestling and maybe some of the stuff that happened in the good old days. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow, and we'll be back doing the live cast next week, same Pat time, same Pat channel. Good night, everybody.
Folks, another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You suck it. You can suck it. Suck it.
Suck it.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.